the first of many discipleships. I know that, you know, everyone's feeling a little bit, but this is a good thing that's happening. It's a good thing. This is an environment where people are going to be able to be equipped and become everything that God has called them to be. How many people want to know their gifts? How many people want to know their calling? You know, it's got to be one of the biggest questions that we ask or people ask is what was I put on this earth for? I need to know what it was, why I was born. And these are the environments that you're going to find out. How? I don't know. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to you, not me. But what this is an environment where the presence of God is able to move in a way that he starts to speak and confirm and gives you words in season and starts to decipher what those things should be and shouldn't be. Because it's by his Spirit that he separates us and calls us. So I'm just going to quickly pray. I actually only have 15 minutes, so I'm going to pack it in, because what I don't want you to do is think next time, next week, it's like, oh gosh, they're going to keep us here till 9, 10 o'clock. I'm not going to keep you here till 9, 10 o'clock. We want this to be sharp and short and really impactful. Father, we just give you free rein, Lord. I thank you for every single woman here in this place. I thank you for the calling and the purpose that you have for every single one of them. I thank you for the gifts you've given them. Lord, I ask you that you will bring those gifts out, oh God. Father, we're in a battle. And we know that. We know that. But the battle now that we are born again is for good. There is a purpose. It's not just for nothing. So, Lord, I ask you tonight, God, help me to communicate what you want in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm just going to read the mission statement. This is the foundation of everything what we do with women's ministry. It's Victory Outreach's mission statement. And once you know that this is the mission statement, then you know that this is the foundation of everything that we do. So Victory Outreach, United Women in Ministry International, is called to the task of evangelizing and discipling the hurting people of the world with the message of hope and plan of Jesus Christ. This call involves a commitment to train, develop, inspire, and instill within the women the desire to fulfill their potential in life with a sense of dignity, belonging, and destiny. Victory Outreach United Women in Ministry International serves as a financial support base to world missions and works hand in hand with the vision of Victory Outreach International to accomplish the task before us. And then the scripture that I have tonight is 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. One of the battles that is going to be continuous in your life is the battle for your faith. The faith that God gave you, the measure of faith that when you were born again by his Spirit, he came and gave each one of us a measure of faith according to the calling and the plan that he has assigned just for you and just for me. Is my measure the same as yours? I'm not really sure about that question. All I know is that I've been given enough faith for me to fulfill the call of God upon my life. And you have been given enough faith for the call of God upon your life. I'm going to read you something, and it's called The Big Fight. And I actually didn't communicate with Danielle or anyone else, but it ties in quite nicely. I want you to listen. I don't have long, so I've sort of changed my message a bit, because there's no point in me speaking a big, massive, long message. So I'm just going to have this. I'm going to have 2 points, and then we're going to pray. Well, imagine you're in a ring with Jesus, because everyone is, really. Now, you're either in his corner or you're in your own corner, facing him and getting ready to fight. All the hard stares and bravado and big words are okay until the bell goes. Then you're fighting against the undefeated champion of the universe. And all that can be said is, good luck, because God bless doesn't apply to you. He looks at you sadly without triumph because he knows what's coming to you. And he knows it's not what either of you really want. Your utter humiliation and destruction, but you won't back down. Shame. If you're in his corner, however, things are different. You're on the side of the King of the Ring, the ultimate champion, and you're confident of another victory. You're holding his towel, getting ready to use it. But then something strange happens. Jesus steps out of the ring and invites you to climb in. You do because you trust him, although you're a little bit confused. What's happening runs through your mind as you look from Jesus to your opponent and back again. And Jesus looks you in the eye and says, "It's your turn. I've trained you to think like me and to fight like me. So just do what you've been taught and be who I know you can be, and you'll win." The fight begins. And at first, your opponent attacks you aggressively, and it's all you can do to cover up and defend. His blows hurt at first, but you quickly come to realize that it's only a sting and they don't really have the power to damage you. You begin to dance and move, and more your opponent's blows begin to miss you. The more they do, the more angry he becomes and the more he leaves himself open. Then bam, you're hit. You hit and he's down, winded and dazed. That one hurt. He gets up and you go into a clinch. As soon as you do, you tell him that he doesn't need to keep fighting. His corner man starts showing his true colours and shouting abuse at you and his fighter. This pattern continues until finally your opponent gives up. He's taken enough unnecessary punishment, mostly from his own trainer. Jesus gets in the ring and walks towards you with a giant smile on his face. "Well done," he says as he lifts up your arm in the pose of a champion. You receive the winner's wreath and immediately give it to Jesus. "This belongs to you," you say. Just as quickly he replies, "Technically it does, but I want you to have it. You're a champion too, just like me." Then Jesus does something incredible. He looks over to your opponent, still receiving abuse from his trainer, and holds out his hand. "Join me," he says. And amazingly, without hesitation, this one does what you once did. He comes. And even more satisfyingly, the opposing trainer can do nothing about it except shout some more. "Let's rest," Jesus says, "and have some fun. The training for your next fight will begin soon." And I just felt that this was a tremendous example of the battle that we're in, is that he trains us. He enables us to go through a lot of stuff, but he also gives us the victory. There is no battle that God will bring you to that he will not give you the victory to go through it. There is nothing that you are facing today that God has not already gone before you and given you the victory. You see, you have to trust that he is your Father in heaven and you are his child and that he loves you with an everlasting love. You have to know this is the foundation of everything that you do and know that no matter what he brings, he's going to bring you through. One of the messages that impacted me the most was Sister Georgina, who spoke, "My Mama Wears Combat Boots." So I think Josephine mentioned that. And the reason why this impacted me is she shared that she'd lost a baby last year. His name was Judah. And we prayed for him. The whole world fasted and prayed. And the Lord took him. And she spoke about her journey of going through that when God doesn't do the things that you necessarily want him to do, and what are you going to do? This is a very, for anybody who goes through this, when you do not get what you want to get when you want to get it. Some strange things can happen to people. Because we have certain standards, we have certain expectations, we have certain things that we believe that God should do. And when he hasn't done them, this is a crossroads that many Christians, born again believers, come to. And many of them will fall away because they don't get what they want. The Bible talks about in James that why do we war? Why is there so many battles going on? And James says it's because we do not get what we want when we want it. It also talks about in Galatians that there is a war going on between the sinful nature and the spirit. It also says that if you do, the reason why there's quarrels and fights and wars is because it's either you follow the sinful nature or you follow the Holy Spirit. The other scripture that along those sort of lines is pick up your cross, deny yourself. And some of these scriptures that we hear, we don't want to hear them. Deny myself? Me? Excuse me, it's all about blessing. It's all about, you know, me and what I want. And, you know, I just want to let you into a little bit of a secret. It's actually not. It's actually not. And I'll let you know that now because you don't want to be disappointed. We're in a battle. We're in a war. And it's about your soul. It's about your eternal. It's about your future. Whether God blesses you or not, he's still God. He's still good. He's still seated upon the throne. And you need to come to a place where you settle that whether God delivers you or not, that you're still going to serve him. And if you've not come to that place, I also want to let you into a little secret that you will come to it if you carry on walking and maturing in Christ, because you're not going to get everything you want, and definitely not in the timing you want it. You're just not. And the question mark is when you come to that place with God and he's not done what you want him to do, or what you thought he should have done, many people then, they say, okay, thanks God, and they walk away. There's two struggles, and I've got 5 minutes left. We've got an external struggle, and we don't fight against flesh and blood. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord in Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. We're not in a battle against each other. The world will tell us that we're warring against each other. We're not warring against each other. But I want to say to you as women, because we can be emotional, and because we have to learn to discern what the Spirit of God is saying. You may be speaking to me or somebody else may be, but you've got to learn what the voice of the Spirit is saying. Sometimes in situations, we can go by emotions, we can go by what she's wearing, we can go by whatever status, you know, this, that. But let me tell you something, you're going to have to train yourself as a spiritual athlete to work out what is actually really going on. Because we do need women that are spiritual. We don't need women that are not spiritual. We have many women that operate not in the spirit. But we need to be women that are prayerful, that are spiritual, that have discernment, that know who they are in Christ, that can know the seasons and the times that they're in, but can also hear from God for their situation. You see, because Victory Outreach is not your foundation. Victory Outreach is your vehicle. Victory Outreach is where you've been called to. Jesus Christ is your foundation. The Word of God is your foundation. That is what's going to keep you in times of trouble. That is what's going to be your foundation. Nothing else will be able to keep you but Jesus Christ. Your external struggle. You have to know who you are. You have to know who you're fighting against. You're not fighting against one another. And we need to be people that keep the peace. It says in 1 Corinthians 9:26, so I run with purpose in every step, and I am not just shadow boxing. You have to know what battle that you are fighting. Do you know what? Some battles are just not worth fighting. Sometimes when people say things and they call me, in my heart I go, you know what? It's not my battle, sister. Go and talk to the person you've got an issue with. It's not my battle. Or my husband will be saying something, and inside everything will be like, you are. And then the Holy Spirit will be like, you know what? It's not your battle. Zip it, Vicky. Zip. And I'm like, Griselda Smelly Bum wants to get out. She's gagging. She wants to fight. Do you know, every day I have to crucify that woman. She's a beast. Honestly, you don't know the battle I have on a daily basis. I fight daily to crucify her, because she, whatever I feed, whatever, as soon as I'm constantly doing battle in my mind and in my heart. I'm constantly, you know, is that the Spirit of God? What is that? What is that? And I'm constantly battling. And I don't become lazy here. You know, ladies, you have to be aware that here is your biggest issue. You got to be tight here. You got to keep yourself snug, all tucked in, not flabby minds. We have to be really tight in our minds. But so the first one is the spirit, the external struggle. But I just want to talk to you very quickly about the internal struggle. And the reason why I want to talk to you about the internal struggle is because nobody can see it. Nobody can see what you're going through. Nobody can see the decisions that you're making. Nobody can see you. But you know, I know the struggles that we're going through. You see, whatever happens on the inside of you will be seen on the outside. It's only a matter of time. Whatever decisions you make on the inside, whatever is going on in your heart, will be evident on the outside eventually. As a man thinks, so is he. You'll know where someone's at purely. They say the window of a reflection of a man's heart. You can see it. It's a reflection of where someone's at. You have to know, I think Danielle was talking about it, you have to know that one of your biggest battles is not going to be the devil. Who do you think it's going to be? It's going to be yourself. You have to know yourself. You have to study yourself. You have to examine yourself. Because all the enemy does is walk round and he just watches you. Because that's all he needs to do. He just needs to watch where you're not submitting. He just needs to watch where you're backbiting. He just needs to watch where you're gossiping. He just needs to watch, because eventually what he'll do is he'll put a scallion there, an offence they call it in the Bible, but in Greek it's scallion. He'll put a trap, because he'll watch what your weakest point is. He walks around like a roaring lion, watching for the vulnerable, watching for your character defects, watching for your anger issue, watching for your lust issue, what you're fiddling about with. He watches you. He just prowls around. And for an opportune time, then he'll come in. And you have to become a studier of yourself. You have to be, and one of the biggest things that in my life is the Word of God. And the reason I say this is because the biggest thing that's changed my life is the Word. You have to become a woman that studies the Word of God. You have to become a woman. I remember I was 2 weeks saved, and the Lord said to me, whatever you study, you will become. Whenever I'm going through insecurities, whenever I'm going through complexes, I always study the opposite to what I'm going through. So if I'm studying fear, if I'm going through fear, I study perfect love. I just study it. I get out every scripture. I pull it apart. I look at it. I meditate on it. And I don't leave it. I don't leave until it leaves. Whatever you study, you will become. The Word of God is your tool. It is the thing that changes you. Because we need to change. Because in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, if you're still the same person as a Christian, then there's something very, very wrong. You should be like almost, you should be in 5 years from now, it would be almost very, very hard apart from to look at how, the change in your life. My question to you is, if you've been around 5, 10, whatever years, and you're still dealing with the same things, there's a bit of an issue there. You should be overcoming. You should be being renewed. You should be going from strength to strength, from glory to glory. If you're not, then you need to go back to the basics. Prayer, you know, basic. An hour's prayer in the morning. That's like a basic bottom light prayer life. You know, and if you're people here that are not having a prayer life and that you need to learn, then get alongside someone and learn how to pray. Because your biggest counselor and your the person who will bring the biggest revelation to you is not a person. It's not a person. It's not Paul or whoever's preaching. It's the Holy Spirit. He is the comforter, the counselor. He is a friend. He'll just whisper something deep within there and it will go pa and change you in an instant. He's the one. But you have to train your flesh. Because you know, many of us, when we try to get into God's presence, there's so much that will come. There's so much, you know, I don't know if you're anything like me, but I count hours that I've slept and I'm coming in for a land. Like, there's sometimes I'm so tired. I'm like, oh, I went to bed at 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I get really stressed if I've not had a certain amount of hours. But we have to know that God is quite able to refresh us beyond what we think we should be having. And our prayer life is a lot more important than our sleep. Because sleep is something that is sneaking into the church. A slumber spirit, a little bit of a slumber spirit where people are just like, the commitment levels drop, their prayer lives drop, they're eating more, they're sleeping more, you know, read their Bible for 10 minutes. And I want to say to you today that it stops here. It's not happening with the women in this church, okay? It's not happening. We're gonna go deeper. We're gonna seek God more, and the women, we're gonna undergird, and we're gonna make sure that the atmosphere and the environment within this church, that we will do our part. We will do our part. Are we together in this? Are we together? We are gonna go to another level. We are. Whether I'm gonna have to drag you there, I'm telling you right now, where your flesh is saying like, you will love it. You'll love it. You'll love me at the end of it. I promise you. Because we are going to another level spiritually. I'm going to go. So if we're in, you're coming with me. Because I'm going to another level. I've asked God for the strategy. I've asked God for the plan. And we are going to, and if you don't know how to pray, we're going to give you an opportunity. And we're going to start doing, like, I think it's probably once a month on a Saturday, we're going to bring all the women together and we're going to seek God's face. So if you don't know how to pray, then that's a place you can come and learn. And all, you know how I learned to pray? It's by listening to someone else. All I did was listen. I just used to, it's like a mimicking thing. And I was like, okay, so that's how you talk to God. And I started to copy and I started to, and then I started to get my own relationship with God. It's as simple as that. And so, you know, those basics of what kept me, my prayer life, my study life, my relationship with God and His Spirit living within me. And I believe that all of us are going to go to another. And also in it, the wonderful thing is you're going to find out what your gifts are. But I'm not going to say you're not going to have struggles, because you will. You will have struggles. Like Danielle said, like many of the women have said, like Sister Georgina said, I mean, what a terrible thing to lose a child. God willing, you know, nobody here goes through something like that. But many of you know, I've had my own battles with cancer and, you know, and miscarriages and different things. And you know, God is just, he's always been there. He's never, ever, not one minute ever let me go. And like you said, I never questioned God. I asked him questions, but I never questioned God. Still to this day, I don't question God. I'm the potter. I mean, he's the potter and I'm the clay. And he can do, God, you do what you want to do. I'm open, I'm pliable, I'm flexible. If you want to send me on assignment, Lord, let it be somewhere like Australia, please. somewhere hot, I mean like Manchester. Ooh. No, I'm not going anywhere. Okay, I've got a lot of work to do here. But yeah. But if God, I even came to that place, I'm like, Lord, if you wanted to send us anywhere else, I want to go. I just want to go. I want to do God's will. And that's the place we need to come to, is whatever God wants to do, we need to be open to hear his voice and leave our comfort. Yeah, we're all looking for comfort, aren't we? Mm-hmm. There's only so much comfort one can get. There's only so much telly or food or, come on, it gets boring. So unsatisfying, the flesh. Joan loves it. She loves being in the flesh. We're going to stand today. And then I just want Abby to come up, because I'm going to do something very special here, because this is the right place to do it in women's ministry. And I didn't tell her I was going to do this, but it's really important that you know that spiritually, that I'm handing over women's ministry to Abby. So United Women in Ministry, well, the women's ministry. And Abby's been spearheading and with me for, how many years have you been with me?
10 years.
10 years. Okay, she's been with me 10 years. I think I've probably held her hand long enough. And it's like a long time, isn't it? 10 years. So I've been praying, and when I was in America, God showed me it's time to completely release it. When I mean release it, it doesn't mean that just Abby's going to be doing this. As you know, Abby has very much done teams and, you know, mobilized. And I got wisdom from Sister Mitzi, who I hold in high esteem as a woman leader. And she's like what I would call someone that I look to. And she advised me, now's the time. And I just got real confirmation. So when I came home, I said, Abby, it's time. And so all she's going to do is just let me know for the year what she's doing. And I want you women to be with her. Be with her. I'm not going anywhere. I'll be around, but I'm going to be concentrating on building leaders. Okay? That's my assignment this year. So I say, Abby, you know, if you see leaders, you've got to pass them to me. Okay, so that's her assignment. So we're going to pray her in. I'm passing the baton, and I feel very, very assured that she is gifted, anointed, called, and she has Jesus' heart, but she also has my heart. She has my heart, and she has also the vision of this ministry. And so if some of the women leaders can come round, and let's lay hands on Abby, because this is it's an important thing for me. It's my baby. Releasing a ministry. Thank you.